Well, now, I've been doing this Sunday supplement for 7 years. This is the last one, as you know, and it's a first and a last because it's the first time we've managed to get Richard Digance on the programme. I don't know why it's taken so long, but Richard, welcome aboard. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. The reason you haven't had me is because I charge too much.
There you go, yeah. And you're far too busy as well. You're a man with many talents, aren't you?
Yeah, well, a lot of fingers in pies. They're not always talented, but I do sort of spread myself out. You know, I'm a bit of a cottage industry, and that's what I like to be. You know, I'm not a sort of a showbiz mogul or anything. I like to sing songs. I love working live. I like to. I do a lot of documentary music, as some people know, and I do a lot of painting. So. Yeah, it's all sort of thrown into one big job, really. Lots of little things, but I enjoy every single bit of it. Otherwise, to be brutally honest, I wouldn't do it, I don't think.
Exactly. Well, that's the point, isn't it? And indeed, your trip to the Watermark on the 18th of March is going to have a bit of both, because you've got an art exhibition from 5 p.m. and then on stage in the evening. So a chance to do a couple of things.
Yeah, I did it last time I was at the Watermark. I did exactly the same thing. Did an art exhibition in the afternoon. And then what we do, which is really nice, we do a sort of a meet and greet, meet the artist, see how he painted over the numbers on the bit of hardboard, bonhomie, and then I do a concert in the evening. And I really enjoyed it. And I said to Jackie Drew, who runs the place, I said, well, let's do another one. I really, really enjoyed it. She works very hard to make it work, so I don't do it very often, to be honest. I only do about two or three a year, but the Watermark was very successful last time, so I said to Jackie, let's do it again. I loved it.
Good. Well, I'm sure you'll be well supported on the night. And, of course, this is a special year for you, isn't it? 50 years you've been doing this. I mean, you must have been three when you started.
One and a half, don't be rude. It doesn't seem it. I mean, I don't know what longevity is in this business, to be honest. I think it's just survival of the fittest. And to be honest, Tim, the way it's going, you know, I mean, my heroes, my icons are dropping like flies. And I don't say it in a glib way, but I'm just pleased to be here.
You know,
it's a different world each year. You know, the contemporaries, the Bowies, and the and even in the comedy world of the Corbetts and so on, it's transforming into a different picture for us all, you know. And I am very, very pleased. I'm a fit bunny, which is quite handy, and so I just continue. But it doesn't seem like 50 years. It's 50 years since I started really writing, because when I left college, I joined the BBC as a writer. Mm-hmm. Mainly with Bernard Braden, who was the man of the moment, and I used to write ditties and so on, and it was after that I went into performance. I joined, as I say, as a writer, I think the same day as Griffiths Jones joined the BBC as a scriptwriter.
So
I know, it all seems a long, long, long time ago, and then I worked with Braden, and then I went on to a program a lot of people remember called Pebble Mill at One. And I got my wrist slapped at Pebble Mill at One, and I remember the story really well, because it was about a very famous gardener, a British heritage, a British institution, who sadly passed away, and they were talking about him. And just before I sang my song on Pebble Mill, I said, cheer up, he might come up again next year. You do these things in your unwisdom of youth.
Yeah.
And I left Pebble Mill under a bit of a cloud, to be honest.
Richard.
Oh, no, it's a learner. I had a great, great time. But I was brought up, really, in radio. You know, I mean, I started in hospital radio in the East End of London, where I was born. I moved to Moorfields Eye Hospital in London and presented there, all for love, you know, all for the passion of radio. And then I went into the BBC. So, you know, my roots and my upbringing into the media was not television. That came a lot later. It was certainly what you're doing now, you know, getting away with talking to a wall.
I know, it's a strange thing, isn't it? We sit in an empty room and imagine that, well, I always say it's, I talk to my imaginary friends and hope that they're listening.
Well, when I joined the big commercial station in London, the presenter that came on before me was Kenny Everett. Mm. And he gave me a great tip, which might help you in your budding career.
Yes.
He said to me, he said, when you get to the desk, he said, sit down, he said, and take out a picture of someone you know, a friend or, you know, your partner or your mum or your dad, and talk to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I did. I started out and I used to talk to a picture of my mum and dad.
Yeah.
And that's what, for me, brought the informality of one-to-one conversation, which is very hard. I mean, people, I mean, I'm not sort of blowing smoke up you, but, you know, people don't realise that presenting is actually quite difficult to get through, you know, and to be personable and to give the impression you're talking to one person. It's a very great art form, and I'm sure you'll get it one day.
I'm working on it, and now you know I've got that. Actually, you're not the only person I've heard say that. Tony Blackburn used to have a coat hanger with a coat on it in the corner of the studio, and that was his mum that he was talking to. So it works, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I can't believe. I don't ever remember my mum looking like a coat hanger. but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It is that you know, one-to-oneness, if there is such a word, and. Certainly worked for me, so, and of course television was totally different. You're into a camera and you're really being eyeballed and eyeballing at the same time. It's a totally different game, you know, but radio is where it all began.
And at that point, was there a career plan, or did you just take it all as it came?
There wasn't a career plan. I've always, in my heart of hearts, been a musician. I started singing in folk clubs. Particularly down there in the West Country, because there was tons of them, you know, and I remember the lovely clubs down your way with Brenda Wotton and so on, you know. There was a good, strong folk scene down there. And indeed, Ralph McTell even moved down there, amongst others, you know, so it was a very desirable place to go down to Devon and Cornwall, you know, and perform down there. But I don't really know, and I've often said this to friends, I don't know anybody who ever went into music to make money. I mean, I didn't really know what my proper job was going to be, but I just wanted to play the guitar. I wanted to get out of London, which I didn't like, and quote, get on the road, and just enjoy myself. But I never ever thought of it as a career. I just thought, oh, I might get some gigs, you know, might get paid, and if not, I'll still do it. But I never ever at any time thought that it would be a sort of a lasting career until I became a bit of a flavour. In the 70s, I became the support act to Book. Not because I was good, and that would be very arrogant, but it was actually because I was simple. I was one bloke with a guitar. I didn't have drums. I didn't have bass players. And so every touring band wanted Richard Digents because he was easy. Mm-hmm. And I could get the audience singing. And I remember in the 70s, there was one year in the 70s, I did 268 supports in 365 days. And it was then, I started with Steel Iceband, and then I did the Breakfast in America tour with Supertramp and Heavy Horses tour with Jethro Tull and, you know, big stuff. And Tom Jones, Joan Armour Trading. And I just went round and round and round. Luckily, you know, it was different punters because obviously they had different styles of music. But I was just going round and round and round, being a bit of a cuckoo, nicking other people's audiences and doing the best I could, really.
Yeah.
And then I tried my hand. I'd been doing that for quite a long time, and I tried my hand in America, which was not a great idea. They didn't particularly like me because it's the world of James Taylor and people that can sing well, so I never really stood much of a chance. But it just so happened I toured with Steve Martin, who is a brilliant musician apart from being a huge movie star.
Mm-hmm.
And he opened my eyes to, and I don't say this to name drop, but he genuinely opened my eyes to being a little bit larger than life on stage. Because don't forget, we're all quite quiet people, us lot, that get up there.
Yeah.
It's some sort of alter ego that makes you get up there and be whatever you want to be. And I always struggle with that, you know, because I was just a bloke who happened to play the guitar and happened to try and write songs. Never thought of myself as, if you like, a stage-crafted person. But I was warned when I worked with Steve Martin, he said, and someone said to me, be careful, just get ready for his encore. And I said, why, what does he do? And they said, he takes the audience out into the street and shows them how to steal a car.
Yeah.
And yet, Steve Martin was probably, and I mean, we all know how big he is, you know, the Three Amigos and Father of the Bride and all that. But he's probably the shyest man I ever worked with.
Remarkable.
And you don't think of that. He's a grey-haired nutcase, you know, lunatic. But in actual fact, he plied his craft. He did it well. And I learned from him to express myself bigger than what I was. And for me, it worked. So the 70s was really the years of me developing from being a sort of a song scribbler, if you like, to more of a personality on stage. It worked for me, but I never, ever forgot, even when I moved into television, I never forgot I was a musician.
Yeah.
And as I talk to you now, I'm not a showbiz person, I'm a musician. I write songs, and hopefully some of them are good fun and we have a good old sing-song, but they are essentially music, you know, it's not showbiz.
Yeah, well, I'm so looking forward to seeing you on the 18th of March. And as we were saying, it's 50 years of songs and stories. And will you be doing some of the old stuff and some new stuff, or how do you go about
it? Yeah, I mean, I've tried to sort of make it interesting in terms of what I've done in that 50 years. For example, the smallest show I've ever done, which was 8 British soldiers in the Falkland Islands.
Wow.
And when you think it's 8,000 miles, I think it was 1,000 miles for every punter. And I did it in a bunker on top of a mountain, and they'd put 2 rows of 4 chairs out in this bunker.
Wonderful.
And everyone sort of laughed at it at the time, and I said, there's no need to laugh. A, I'm very proud, and B, it's the first sellout concert I've ever done. So I'm actually quite chuffed to be here. But those sort of stories, I think, are what makes Digents being as long as he is, you know, the fact that I've done all that. I'm not a huge fan of modern, you know, competitive reality stuff, because I don't believe music is ever performed to win competitions. I believe it's performed from your heart, you know, and something in there that makes you sing. I don't think you necessarily want to be hammered by judges or beat somebody else. It's just in your blood, and that's why I've never retired. I mean, to be brutal, I don't necessarily need to do it these days, but I don't know anything else, Tim. This is what I do. I love doing it. If I stayed at home, I'd get the guitar out. So I just think, well, why don't I just get out there and get the guitar out and earn a few bob, you know? So I'm very happy doing what I do, and 50 years does seem quite unbelievable, but I've done it, and that's great for me.
You've done it, that's for sure. And let's hope that you continue to do it for many more years to come, Richard, because we love what you do. And we haven't even talked about Countdown, but that's another story, I suppose, isn't it?
Oh, I could tell you all about Countdown. Yeah. I mean, I did it for 19 years, so it's it was quite a big part of my career. But I was a very, very good friend of Richard Whiteley, a great guy, not quite maybe what people imagine when you saw him on telly, because he wasn't the bumbling, you know, buffoonish image at all as a bloke. He was one of the nicest people I probably ever met.
Yeah.
And when Richard passed away, it wasn't really the same, Tim. I tried it with I think it was Des O'Connor, I think, but it just wasn't the same. Richard was a great stooge, you know, like you was all those years ago when I did that show with you in the Middle East. And you know what? I think there comes a closing time, And I'd done hundreds of countdowns, loads of poems and silly stuff. And I missed Richard, to be brutally honest. I know it sounds a bit twee, but I did. I missed him being in that chair. And I just thought, no, I don't really want to do this anymore. So I didn't.
Well, you've got, as you said right at the start of this conversation, you've got so many strings to your bow, you can pick them up and drop them whenever you like, really, can't you?
Yeah, as the mood takes, really, yeah. You know. But essentially, I'm a performer.
Yeah.
That's what I am. I get out there and we have a real good time. Loads of messing about, loads and loads of sing songs. And I think in this present time, the world is scary, and I think people do want to get out and live a little fantasy for a couple of hours of how Britain used to be with fruit sellers and blackjacks, how the world wasn't run by odd people, a time when we didn't have all these ridiculous votes and things, when we were just a little island. That's what I like, that's what I was brought up in. It's what my audience were brought up in, and they like to go back to it. So it is a bit of a nostalgic trip as well for everybody, you know, including myself, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Richard, it's so good to talk to you today. Thank you very much for your time.
And my pleasure.
Just to repeat, Richard Digent's art exhibition at 5 p.m, concert at 8 p.m. at the Watermark in Ivy Bridge on Saturday, the 18th of March. Richard, more power to you. Keep doing it, and thank you very much.
Where do I send the invoice to?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm off today.
Okay, 20 grand cash. See ya.